Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Kingsway Podcast from Pastor Sean. You are about to hear a message from a recent Sunday service. We consider it a privilege to be on a spiritual journey with you. So take a few moments with us and allow God to inspire you today.
I want to start this series and I want to talk about amazement. I want to talk about amazement. And so I'm just going to tee it up today. I'm going to get the juices flowing and get you started, and we're going to continue it on next week. And I have my notes today, and the computer's working, and my mic's working, and my brain's working, so we should be on point this week. Amen? Praise God for making all the stuff work. Amen. What amazes you today, church? What gets your attention and keeps it and blows your mind? What makes you look that way? Is it something on the TV? Maybe it's something on the internet, a sale perhaps, or a new website, or you just want a new vacation. Is it the news? Maybe it's your own kids when they come to you and say something, and you're like, what? You know, as I was talking to my wife, we're just saying, yeah, so many things. What have we seen some of our friends get amazed with? You know, I can tell you a number of times I've sat across or I've been on the phone with somebody who's like, I just finished my tax returns. You won't believe it. And they have that face right there. You're the same as a young professional who gets a bonus that they weren't expecting. You get this face. Or time off you weren't expecting. You get this face. What amazes you today, church? You got it in your head? It's in your spirit now? You see, some of you may say, well, the Bible. The Bible amazes me. God's word amazes me. God's spirit amazes me. I thought some of you would say that. And so I went into the scripture and I began to seek and search for this concept of amazement, this concept of wonder. And I found it. It's in the Bible. There's a word for it. And the word that you find in the Bible, it's in the Greek. And the reason why it's in the Greek is because it's a word that it wasn't used as much in the Hebrew. It wasn't a word. It was used from time to time when you behold the Lord, it was used. But it's used a lot more in the Greek because in the Greek, which is the New Testament, that's the time when Jesus was around. And this word, the word is thauma. Thauma was used a lot when Jesus was around. Wouldn't you be amazed around Jesus? Couldn't you imagine amazement with when he talked and when he healed and when he walked? You know, you talked about the story, Chris, where he called Peter out of the boat. Who was more amazed? Jesus, that Peter actually did it? Peter, that he's stepping on waves? Or all the other disciples, that some dude's walking on water and that dude's not Jesus? Amazement. When you look in scripture, you look, this word is translated sometimes as marvel. In the King James, you'll see they marveled. You'll see it as wonder. And not wondering like I'm confused, like wonder and awe. It actually even has a more action associated, literally gasping in amazement, astonished. Shocked, if you will. Church, are you with me now? Do you understand the concept I'm trying to get in your head? That word that I'm describing is in that Bible. It's amazing. And it's the word thama. So let me give you some examples just to get your head straight. You can think, and I asked my wife to come up with some Bible stories, and of course she came to some, and I looked it up, and I was surprised. I shouldn't have been surprised. I was a self. I had some thama when I looked at it. I was a little surprised. But some of the ones she came to were ones that were in Scripture, and the same word was used. Do you remember the story, church, with the disciples on the boat? And you know, Jesus decides to take a little cat nap. And what happens, right? The storm rails up. And the thunder and the water starts coming in the boat. Remember the story? What do they do? Wake up Jesus, you remember, right? And when Jesus stands on the bow of the boat and he says to the wind and the seas, he goes, peace, be still. Do you remember that? Well, you know what the next line says? The next line says, they were all amazed. What kind of guy, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? Really? Amazement, church. This concept of amazement, this thema, it's used over and over and over again around Jesus. It's used around the times when he exercised or pulled out demons and devils from people. People were amazed at his authority. When he came among the deaf or the mute, and he allowed them to hear and see, and people who knew that these people couldn't hear and see, when they saw Jesus do that, they were amazed. Everyone who walked around Jesus was amazed. Not just his followers, the believers. It was the Pharisees, the ones who hated him the most. They were amazed. It was the unbelievers, the Romans, the people occupying them, the people enslaving them. They were amazed at Jesus. Even Pontius Pilate, when he stood before Jesus the first time, he looked him in the eyes and he says, who do you think you are? I'm about to kill you. And Jesus just looked at him and said nothing. Pontius Pilate was amazed. Church, are you following me today? This word is used over and over in Scripture. One day, Jesus walked out of the city with the disciples, and he walked past a path, and on that path was a fig tree, and he was hungry. He needed to eat. The earth is supposed to give us our resources. So he went to the fig tree, Jesus, and he knelt down to pick a fig off the fig tree. You guys know how this story goes. Was there a fig on that tree for him to eat that day? There was no fig on the fig tree. And you know what Jesus does? He looks at that fig tree, and because it gave him no fruit, because that's what a tree is supposed to do, that's what a church is supposed to do, produce fruit. And since it wasn't doing that, not one fruit, he said to that fig tree, you will never produce fruit again. He walked away, and the fig tree withered. Not the fig tree too? How did the fig tree wither so quickly? May you never bear fruit again, Jesus said. Jesus says that? Okay, the point I'm trying to point out here, church, which I think is interesting, that's what a cute little guy, is that this word amazement is very interesting. Not all amazement is the kind of amazement you want. You see, what the disciples were feeling right there when they were shocked when they saw the fig tree, it wasn't this awe that the winds and the seas obey them as much. Or maybe it was, or maybe they felt the same way. Maybe they weren't such in wonder. They weren't in such surprise. Maybe they looked at it with a sense of terror, with a sense of fear. You see, the same emotion inside that produces amazement in the way that is good, where we are surprised and we marvel and we wonder, is the same seat that produces this fear, this shock. The difference between shock and wonder is all a mere sense of interpretation, a mere sense of perception. It's the same feeling. It's the same word in the Bible, thema. So now I tell you, the point of this sermon is not what you are amazed. It's not what shocks you or what fears you. It's not how you interpret the Bible. Today, I want to unleash on you a secret in the Bible that may blow your mind if you listen. Do you want to hear it? Prepare to be amazed. Matthew 8, verse 10, it says, it tells us, it teaches us, it reads as clear as day, any version, anyone you pick up, you will read some flavor of the word amazement in verse 10 of the 8th chapter of Matthew, and it will use it in the context of one Jesus Christ. So what I'm trying to throw on you today is that, yes, Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, God incarnate, the one who walked among us, the one who healed among us, the one who died for us, he himself was amazed. He himself was in marvel. He himself was in wonder. He himself was amazed. He felt the thama. It says, when Jesus heard this, he was, say it with me, turning to those who were following him, he said, do you want to know what he was amazed at? Now you guys are scrambling to your Bibles, trying to find out what could possibly have amazed Jesus Christ, the one who walked on water, the one who healed the deaf and the mute, the one who made the blind see, the one who literally raised up people from the dead, the one who cast out demons from people, the one who took the brightest minds of all time and made them into a stumbling stupor. What could possibly amaze him? I mean, he knew God. He was God. He is God. He was love. He is love. What could possibly amaze him? Church, do you want to know? It's one of those amazing verses where I think it extends. I don't even need to go to verse 11. There's a comma here. It's still in the same verse. When he heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, and by the way, following him, just so you're clear, following him, following Jesus, that's all of us. We are followers of Jesus. So he's talking to us right now. He talked to all the followers of Jesus. He talked to the church, and he said these words of what he was amazed at. I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. It amazed him, church, in the same way that the winds and seas amaze us, that the fig tree amazes us. In the same way that the parting of the Red Sea amazes us, Jesus used the same word, felt the same emotion because of someone's faith. Now you can scramble through your text. I'll share it with you really quickly. This was the story of the centurion, the story of the military man whose child was dying. The military man, to put it in context, was Roman. That means they didn't like the Jewish people. They were enslaving and occupying the Jewish people. Yet this Roman came to Jesus and asked him to heal his son. And Jesus treated him like he did everyone else and said, "Let's go, take me to your son. I will go and do what I can." And he said, "No, my house isn't worthy for you to come to. Not I don't want you." I can't preach this right now. I got to keep going. He said, "My house is not worthy for you to come to. Just say the word. Just say the word." Church, I wish I had more time right now. Because I tell you, church, I can preach 100 different ways. I've tried like 50 of them since I've been pastor, trying to see what works for me, what works for you. And I'll probably try 50 more ways, I don't know, until I get comfortable with a response that the Lord is telling me I am to expect from you. But right now, one thing is for sure, church, no matter what way I attempt to preach and what creativity I use to do it in, there is only one thing I want to preach, and it is his word. With his word, he said, "You can heal my son. Just say it." With the same authority, I tell my servants, my subservients, the lower ranking soldiers, the same way I tell those soldiers to go do something and they do it, you can say the word and it will just happen. You can just say the word, Jesus, and it will happen. And Jesus was amazed. I've never seen faith. And church, I have to pause here, because we're talking about the depth of faith from a stranger. This is not someone who knew Jesus. He didn't know him like us. He didn't follow him like us. He didn't love him like us. Like the people in that community, who just need something like a health screening or a basketball night or an NA support group. They don't know Jesus like us. But it is those people that are capable of a depth of faith unlike us. It says it right here. I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And you know who he turned and said this to? All of us. The depth of faith from the strangers overwhelmed him and made light of the frail faith. The frail faith that some of his followers have. This faith of mouth, but not of heart. This faith of words, but not of mind. This faith that is finicky. And he began to realize the followers that even follow me, all of Israel who will ultimately bow before me, is finicky compared to this Roman who doesn't even know me. And that is the point of this sermon today, church, because it's about to get deep. Are you ready for it? I just teed you up. I'm sure many of you have heard the song Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Amber's probably one of the only songs I actually can sing. I won't try right now. I learned it in a church like this. I cry every time I hear it. But have you considered amazing faith today? If I said that outside this sermon, you immediately would go to the book of Hebrews. We all know. The chapter of faith. And we would talk about all the men and women of faith. That's amazing faith. That is not what I'm talking about. You see, amazing faith is this thing that amazes Jesus. This faith that amazes Jesus. And as I already shared with you before, if it's possible to bring shock and awe into him, if it's possible to let him marvel at this man, and get it straight before I go on one more second, do you realize each and every one of you has the capacity inside, whether you're part of the church, associated with the church, understand the IPHC, or don't care, you today are capable of having a faith so deep down inside, such a faith with such an authority that Jesus Christ can marvel at you. And wonder at you. The scary thing, though, church, is if you believe Thema is this place where wonder and astonishment and surprise comes from, and you know that that's the same place where shock and fear and outrage, why people look at Facebook and some go, oh, they finally said it. Or other people go, oh, I can't believe they said it. And one person is elated and another person is furious. It's the same place inside each and every one of us. And that place sits in the heart of God and is evoked with our faith. And so if I tell you that it's possible to evoke it with this amazing faith that it makes him marvel and wonder, would you believe today that it also is possible to allow him to evoke it in shock, fear, and terror when we don't have it? You can look in Matthew or Mark chapter 6, verse 6. It says these words, he was thamad. He was thamad at their lack of faith. Now, before you turn there, there's no need to turn there. As I say this, your mind should wonder. You should say, this is no surprise. He's not preaching anything I don't know. Go back and think to yourself when Jesus Christ was resurrected and the tomb was removed and the ladies went and Jesus is gone. Jesus then appeared. And what happened? They didn't say, oh, wow, Jesus is here. They go, oh, no, that's not him. That's not him. Doubting Thomas needed to literally put his fingers in his holes to prove that it was him. Their lack of faith. And again, later on is Peter, right? In the Acts chapter where he was in jail, right? And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. He got into a room and prayed. I preached his sermon. They prayed and prayed, release him, release him, release him, release him. God then releases him. They're praying, release him, release him, release him. Peter shows up at the door. Hey guys, I'm here. Let me in. And they're like, no, that's not him. Can't possibly be him. So It shouldn't surprise you that over and over again of the unbelief, the unfaithfulness in Scripture, it should catch you off guard. It should amaze you that God is amazed both by our faith and our unbelief. He was shocked at the lack of faith. He was outraged by the lack of faith. He was terrified at their lack of faith. The same Jesus, the same feeling. What was this story? You know, I need to share it with you before I get to the main point, and then I'm going to close because I want you to be very excited for next week. This story is one that I need to share with you. What was their unbelief that was on display in this chapter of Mark 6:6? Well, you can go and you can turn to it, or you can reminisce to the scripture that says, a prophet in his own town will have no glory. This was Jesus when he came back to his own hometown and he began to preach and he began to do miracles to those whom you would argue he knew the most, loved the most. It was there that the people said, "Who is this? He's just a carpenter. Who is this? He's just one of us. Who is this preacher who stands up every Sunday? He's just too young. Who is this preacher who uses videos and music and stories? It wasn't long ago he was just sitting there, probably giving a headache to all the real pastors. That much is true. Who is this guy? He's just one of us." Church, the hardest thing for a pastor to do is to grow up in the church and pastor that church. I take the same sermon, I take the same message, and I go to any church in this community, and they'll be blown away. God told me they would. You hear it every week, so you're like, this is normal, but you also may be thinking, it's just Sean. I tell you today, church, these messages do not come from just me. I can show you my notes, the Just Me notes. I got a book like this, like Chris has, of the Just Me notes. Half the times I got giant X's through them. And Saturday night, I'm in wailing, crying, trying to figure out what am I going to do as my kids are watching movies or making dinner. Because God continues to speak to me. And I keep sharing it with you the only way I know how. The question is, are you amazed or not? What is it that Kingsway Christian Center can do? What is it that we can do to amaze our God? Because I believe we are on the precipice. We are on the fence. We are teetering. We are right there. You can talk to the spiritual leaders in this church. You can talk to the ones that come by and just spend a week. You can talk to the ones that are here and have planted themselves. They know the same thing I know. We're on the fence. And most of them are hoping that we're going to take the step up to the next level. And some of them are wise enough to know, not handled carefully, and we could fall down and regress. They know what I now know, that we are on the precipice of amazing our God. And it will happen with the same thing, faith. And we will either amaze him with it, or we will terrify him without it. I wanted this to be a feel-good message. I wanted you to get excited. But I feel as though I need to be really clear, church. Chris said, and I'm going to repeat it, and I'm not trying to offend anyone, but it's real and it's true. And so I want to repeat what he said. He said, he stood right here at the microphone, and he said, the altar calls that we had during youth camp put us to shame. Now you may wonder what he meant by that. And you may interpret that as a bunch of kids having a good time. Chris didn't leave you room for that. He said, they didn't just come up to have fun. They didn't just come up to say, let me get on my sports team. They didn't come up to say, pray for me to have a good time. No. He said, they came up and they wanted more of Jesus. And they didn't know how to get it. And they thought this time, at this altar, this would be the place to get more of Jesus. I believe it, church. I believe it. If you want more of Jesus, if you want more of this faith I speak of, James chapter 1, it says, ask God and he will give it to you. Unabradeth, he will give it to you. He will pour it into you a measure. He will continue to pour into you this faith that amazes not just him, but the whole world, church. Chris suggests it happen at the altar. I tell you, church, as sure as Laura was singing it and asking us to come to the altar and sing, it's God calling us. As Chris said, to pray together, coming to the altar is an outward sign of responding to him. And I'm not trying to cheerlead everybody to come down to the altar every week, but I am trying to tell you, you're missing a weapon that is in your hands. You are going to a church that God has directed you to that allows you a depth of him that you could not find in other places, yet most of you do not take advantage of it. You are amazing him with your lack of faith. If you want something more from him, come up and get it. God has given us time. It's a test. We're in a wilderness. Corporately, we're figuring it out together. But I encourage you to help me help Kingsway pass the test. I encourage you to step out of your comfort zone, out of the boat. I encourage you to worship him in ways you haven't before. I encourage you to come to the altars and charge him with it, test him with it. Lord, let me experience your presence in a way I have not before. And I assure you, he will not disappoint. I assure you, he will inspire you to take the next step of faith. Amen. Church, I didn't even get to the verse I wanted to get to. Next week, I will start it. But I will tell you today, it has to deal with faith. And I will whet your palate by saying, the reason we come to church together is so that we can have faith together. And the Bible says something very interesting about our faith when it's put together.
We at Kingsway hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Sean. It was not by chance you listened to it. God is speaking to you. Visit kingswaycc.org to find the podcast from Pastor Sean. We pray today that this somehow inspired you to draw closer to God and to connect with his people, his purpose, and his power. God bless you.